Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Sam Blake. Sam is a crime writer of six books who just signed to Curtis Brown Agency in London, England, although she is actually based in Dublin in Ireland. Sam Blake is actually a pen name of Vanessa O'Loughlin, who runs Inkwell Writers Workshop, so she's going to tell us a bit about that as we go along. So welcome, Sam.
Hi there, how are you? Thank you very much for calling.
No worries, it's great to have you on the show. And we're going to ask about your pen name in a bit, but just as a starter, can you tell us a bit about you and about your books?
Okay, well, I've been writing for about 10 years. I started writing when my husband went sailing across the Atlantic. We went on a trip from the Canaries to St. Lucia on a sailing race and was away for about 6 weeks. And I was working at the time, but didn't have any children. And I had all this spare time on my hands, all my long evenings stretching ahead of me. And I just thought, I had an idea, and I just thought it would be a great time to really sit down and try and put pen to paper. Like a lot of people, I'm one of these people who'd always dreamed of writing a book. So really, I just sat down, started to write, and by the time he got back from the States or St. Lucia, the bug was completely bitten, and I was completely addicted. And I was writing longhand at that point. So I was just kept on going, and that's really how I started.
Wow, so you've written six books already. Is that right?
That's right. I started off with a book called The Poison Tree. That was the very first book I started writing, which I thought at the time, of course, was wonderful, as everybody does their first book. Marvellous, absolutely brilliant. And sent it out and started stacking up the rejection letters. But as I was sort of finishing that one, I had an idea for another one, so I'd already started writing the second book at that point. So I wasn't put off. I always absolutely had the idea that I would publish one day. I'm a bit of a positive thinker, so it never occurred to me that I wouldn't get there in the end. So I started writing a second book, and then I started writing a third book, and I'm still piling up the rejection letters on the first two. And the third book was I sent into a lady called Tracy Cody in an Irish publishing house called Townhouse, and she really, really liked it. So that was really my sort of first break. Getting really an editor interested and sort of winning a rejection letter. And what happened with that, in the end, we worked very closely on it together for a long time, and I was getting readers' reports, which were really, really useful. I can't say to people how useful it is to get a real writer, a proper reader to look at your work and critique it for you. And in the end, Townhouse actually sold to Simon & Schuster, and they decided not to publish any more fiction in Ireland. So that was a little bit of a problem at the time. But it didn't put me. I kept going.
Oh, well done.
So it was really. That book was called Dead Reckoning, and I wrote. What did I do after that? Oh, I think I started up. I set up Inkwell at that point. I did a writer's workshop in Dingle, down in Kerry, a weekend workshop, because I felt that my writing was getting there, but it still needed a bit of work. And the workshop was with a girl called Julie Parsons, and she had a fantastic. Run with a book called Mary Mary, whose editor was Tracy Cody, who had taken the interest in my book. So I thought this was meant to be. I went off to do the workshop down in Dingle, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I wanted to do more workshops, but I couldn't see at that point how I was going to get away for another weekend. I couldn't commit to doing three evening workshops, and that's really how the idea of Inkwell was born. And that's really how it made the huge difference in my writing.
No, that's fantastic. So let's just talk a bit about the genre you're writing about. So you write purely crime, is that correct?
I write actually a mixture. I write, my heart is probably, my passion is with the crime. But I also write romance, romance with twists, sort of dark romance, which is sort of the fun side. And I started writing that because I entered a competition that was run on the radio here. The Pat Kenny Show is a big show in Ireland. And he ran a competition with Mills and Boone. And when they were launching their new range in Ireland. And I was very lucky to come second in that. And it was really the first time I'd written a romance story. And I really enjoyed writing it. So that started me off on the romance side of things.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, we're going to talk a bit about crime at the moment. So can you outline some key points that make a book a crime novel as opposed to a different type of genre?
Yeah, absolutely. And Mo Hayder always says that a crime novel starts with a violent act. And I think every crime book has to have a level of violence in it. It might not be graphic, grotesque violence, but it has to be violence for the characters themselves. And even if it's a psychological thriller, perhaps, which is obviously still within the crime genre, the extremes of somebody's psychological state and the effect it can have on the other characters are the sort of the fuel for the book. So I think crime probably takes you to the extremes, and that's probably one of the elements that you need in good crime. I think you need a plot, so a really good plot. I think crime readers are the people who love doing crossword puzzles. They're the people who like to try and solve the problem, and they've got they're bright and they've got really good thinking minds. And that really is another element that you have to have in a crime book. You have to have a puzzle.
And do you need a detective sort of character?
I think it certainly helps. You don't need, not every crime book is a police detective, in the detective genre. There's cozy crime these days, and there's sort of other types of crime. But I think you certainly need to have somebody, a character who's interested in solving the problem, whatever that problem might be. Most of the time you would find there are a lot of police characters, but you might find it might be a psychologist. I'm thinking of Niki French's book, The Red Room, where I think the girl isn't a detective at all. She writes a lot of psychological thrillers, the team writes psychological thrillers, and the protagonist wouldn't necessarily be a detective, but might be a psychologist, or might even just be an ordinary person that something has happened to, but feels the need then to find out what's caused the problem or solve the crime.
No, and I'm particularly interested, because I'm writing a thriller, I'm particularly interested in the difference between thriller and crime and horror as genres. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think straight crime detective fiction is much more of a crime right at the very start, and then what we're doing is we're looking for the killer, in inverted commas. So we usually start with the body. There's usually the odd body in the book. You would need those in a crime novel. And you're looking very much at the killer, and you're looking to solve a crime. A thriller can be much more psychological, and it's much more, it takes you to the edge of your seat. There might not, sometimes in some psychological thrillers, there might not actually be a dead body at all. But it's your problem is created by an individual's psyche, I suppose.
And what about horror? How does horror fit with that kind of spectrum?
I think horror is probably on the edge of the genre. I think these days the various genres are dividing very much into sort of different subgenres. So crime would divide into detective fiction, it would be cozy crime, it would be the thrillers, the psychological thrillers, because even within the thriller genre there would be sub-genres in that too. There's romantic crime, there's all sorts. And I think horror would be probably on the very periphery of the crime element, because there isn't necessarily crime in horror. It's probably in many ways it's a slightly separate genre, because you can get a lot of crime which is quite horrific, but it doesn't necessarily, doesn't involve vampires and things like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I guess some people are wondering why we're talking about this. I mean, would you say for a successful author these days, you have to fit into some kind of genre so agents and publishers know where to put you?
Yeah, I think although writers don't like to be boxed because they want to be, as independent as possible, and when you write your own book, you want that to be your work and, you to stand out from the crowd. In terms of marketing and sales, which really is what the book industry is all about, it helps if they can pigeonhole you to some extent. Because it really helps the reader, because if you think about it, if you sort of turn the tables around and you imagine going into a bookshop and you're maybe a crime reader, you're looking for a particular type of book, and so you need to be able to know where to find that. You're looking for a particular type of cover, you're looking for a particular type of, maybe you want a detective protagonist, maybe that's what you like, maybe you want to look for, a woman who's solving a crime or a really gutsy hero. But you are looking, what you're looking for. And so when the industry is looking at new writers, they are definitely trying to pigeonhole them, because they need to be able to see how to sell you and how to market you.
No, that's fantastic. And then obviously we talked about starting off with a violent act with a body, and you've got a villain there. I'm interested in whether you have any tips for writing villains and bad guys that are not just one-dimensional.
Well, I think all your characters have to be completely three-dimensional. And you have to know your characters inside out. One of the things they talk about when they're talking about writing bad guys is to make sure that, you know, it doesn't matter how bad somebody is, they're going to have something that the reader can sympathise with or empathise with in their character. And it might be that they've had a horrific childhood and that's what's, you know, led them to be as they are. But there's something in there that the reader can empathise with. And so really when you are creating a character, you really have to get to know your character absolutely inside out. Know them. You need to know what's in their pocket when they leave the house in the morning. You need to know what they have for breakfast, how they drink their coffee, who their best friend was in school, you know, how that best friend impacted on them, were there any major events that happened in their childhood that have formed them as adults now. And, you know, I'm really interested in motivation and characters' motivation. So when I write a new character, I try and really go into their backgrounds to find out what makes them tick. And really, really try and look for motivation to make sure the motivation follows, is consistent right the way through the book. And I think that's really important. And you can have plot holes in a book if you find that your character suddenly does something that's totally out of character. That's when you jar the reader really out of the story. And, you know, once you lose your reader, then you've lost, really, haven't you?
Yeah, and so you say they're getting to know your characters. Do you have any tools that you personally use for getting to know your character? Like, do you write down questions about them or something like that?
I do. I have a character sheet that I fill in. It's actually on the website now. That has everything from their age to their hair colour to their eye colour to their height. And then it has this, although the information on the sheet looks quite vague, it might say the home background or, you know, first house, where do they live, or best friend's name. I go into a lot of detail when I'm writing those up, and I sort of get to know the character. You know how a character sort of comes through in your head, and sometimes they can come half-formed. I find when I'm filling those sheets and I'm writing down the detail and I'm thinking about who their parents were and what their parents' names are, and maybe what their parents' background is a little, then the more information, the more detail I go into there, the more I learn about the character. And it's quite often, there'll always be elements that change, quite often character names will change. You start off with a character and it doesn't quite fit in your head. I make a note of that anyway. And then as I get to know the character better and I do more, put more detail in, I find that the bits sort of start to fall into place and the name comes and the detail comes.
No, that's interesting because I've been kind of going through that at the moment, writing down questions about my characters too. So, and as somebody writing their first novel, I was surprised to find that these answers do come in your head. So if people are listening and going, well, that would never happen to me, actually, when you start trying, it does come, doesn't it?
It is the most peculiar experience. I think I sometimes, it sounds very bizarre, but I sometimes feel that the characters are all sort of hovering above you in a cloud somewhere, and it just takes a while for them to introduce themselves to you, because they really do, when they come fully formed, they really are everything, everything about them. So by the time you get to start your book, you feel these people really quite well. And I find I do these character sheets on all the characters in the book, even the minor ones. And when you do that, you can start to see how the characters interconnect, and where there is potential for conflict, and that really is what makes the story. So that tells you, that gives you even more information about the key characters, the protagonists.
That's fantastic. I've got so many sort of questions sparking off from our discussion, but I have some big questions to ask you. One of them is, you've just signed with Curtis Brown, which is one of the top literary agencies, I think, in the world. So how did you get signed by them, and do you have any tips for aspiring authors?
Well, absolutely, lots of tips. One of the things I did was I started entering short story competitions, and I did very, very well in two big Irish short story competitions, the Milton Boone one I mentioned earlier, and one that was run by a publisher called Poolbeg, here in connection with a TV show on RT television. And I was placed in the final three in both of those competitions. And then I was asked by a writer who's a friend of mine, Sarah Webb, to contribute a story to a book called Mum's the Word, which was a book that came out in about 2007. In Age of Cystic Fibrosis, and it was a book written with short stories, a compilation of short stories from 32 of Ireland's top women writers. So it had stories from Cathy Kelly and Anne Enright, who then went on to win the Booker, and everybody you can think of. So I was absolutely blessed with that. And that really was a big break for me. The combination of winning the competitions and getting a story into that book really was a big break. The publishing industry in Ireland is very, very small. Ireland's a very small country. So, and everybody knows everybody else. So for any writers who are trying to get published, actually I think the UK is probably the same. It's still quite small. If anybody's trying to get published, be very careful what you say and who you say it to, because everybody knows everybody else. And I was blessed. I went along to a book club lunch, which was organised by DeGray Books, which is one of the chains here, because I wanted to meet Colm Stabile and Julia Kelly, who are two Irish authors. And I wanted to introduce them to them, and I wanted to chat to them about Inkwell. And I arrived at the lunch and had a proper look at who was going to the lunch, because I just booked in at the last minute and was flying as usual. And I saw the name Sheila Crowley on the guest list and thought, ooh, Sheila Crowley. And at the time, she was working for an agency called AP Watt in London. And I needed an agent, knew I needed an agent, and was really quite keen to meet up with her. So I was trying to target her in the crowd. And then the god of table planning was smiling on me. So when I actually sat down at the table, she was one person away from me. So we were able to chat. She had a copy of Mum's the Word, and she'd read it, and she was familiar with my story. And really, she said, yeah, absolutely, send me something. I sent her The Dressmaker, which was a crime novel I was working on, and I sent her a copy of a romance that I just finished, which I just got, I think, just been rejected from Mills and Boone, and literally the rejection came in the day before, and I thought, well, I'll stick that in the envelope too. So she read them both, and she liked them both, and really, it was, we went from there. It's great.
Wow. And I would, I'm going to pick up from kind of everything you've said so far, the competitions, the compilation, the going for the lunch. You basically got out there and put yourself out there. You've entered things, you've, you know, submitted things, you've gone to lunches, you've, you know, got out the house and away from your desk. And so, you know, you're basically out there marketing yourself. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think if you're serious about getting published, publishing is a business, and one of the ways of getting into the business is to getting to know people and getting feel for it. I know as an unpublished writer for years, I always felt there was this wall around publishing, and it was one of these mysterious businesses, and you never fully understood how it worked or who worked for what, and there were these sort of huge players in it. But really, it's really important that as a new writer, to try and understand as much as you can of what's going on. You know, if you're in Ireland, there's a brilliant website called Irish Publishing News, which has all the publishing news on it. And I'm sure there are probably similar ones. The Bookseller would be a great one in the UK. To really find out who the players are, who the people are, and to try and meet them if you can. Book launches are always open for the public to go along to. So if you have a particular author or a particular agent you want to meet, you know, do your research, find out who their publishers are, find out if they're launching books, and see if you can get yourself along to the launch. And if you keep popping up at launches, an agent eventually is going to see the same face over and over again, you know, and pop up and introduce yourself and, you know, say that you're a writer. And that personal touch makes a huge difference when you do send something in. As I was saying earlier, the book business is very much about marketing, and being marketable is very important. So if you are in a position to be able to chat to people quite freely and to, you know, to be quite personable and to get on with people, that obviously will help speed your manuscript onto the right desk.
That's some great tips there. And can I just ask, how many years has it taken you to get this far?
A long time. I started writing in 1999. But I have to say the first two books I wrote were really pretty awful. And The Dead Reckoning was the first one where it started to change. And then I set up Inkwell about 3 years ago. So that would have been 2006, when I've been writing for about 5 or 6 years. And obviously setting up a business takes you away from actually writing. So I think if I'd have actually just kept with the writing, then I probably would have done it a bit quicker, but it takes a while. I know a friend of mine did an interview with Karen Slaughter. Yeah, and it took her 10 years to get published too. So I felt once I knew that, I felt much better.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, well, we've got a couple more questions here. Let's get back to your pen name. So why did you choose a pen name? Because I've had a couple of people write and ask me about it. Maybe you could share your story.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things, again, we're back to marketing, about selling books is branding and trying to create a brand around yourself. So Sam Blake is a name that is easy to remember. It's one of these unisex names. There's a theory in crime publishing that not very many that men don't like to read books written by women. I don't know how true it is. I could be one of those shaggy dog stories, but certainly the crime writers who I know who are very successful, a lot of them do have sort of names that could be that could go either way. I'm thinking of Alex Barker specifically, is a good pal of mine. And she, again, we're going for a name, Sam Axe, that could be male or female. But the big thing with me is that my name is Vanessa O'Loughlin, which is very long. And O'Loughlin is one of those names that's totally impossible to pronounce outside Ireland. even when I introduce myself to people at events and I say I'm Vanessa O'Loughlin, they know that they can't. It's not a name you can remember because it's too long. So they can remember the Inkwell bit, and they can usually, I'm lucky they remember the Vanessa bit, but the O'Loughlin just goes. So very much, if you have a name like mine that is hard to remember and tricky to pronounce, it is really, really worth thinking about getting yourself a pen name. Now, it's not necessarily something you have to do at the submission stage, but it's something that you have to be open to, because really what you're trying to do at the end of the day is sell books. And it's like anything, it's like a web address that's easy to remember. You know, yours is a superb one, Joanne, with Creative Pen. It's really easy to remember. It just sticks in your head. And you know, so when you're going to Google it, you find it really easily. If you've got a name that's memorable, when somebody goes into the bookshop, they're going to find you very quickly. Rather than saying that I'm an erring assistant, you know, trying to remember your name. So really, that's the logic behind the pen name.
No, that's fantastic. And if you say you become very, you know, obviously you will become very famous as a crime writer. would you say write romance under a different name?
Yeah, I would, because really, when you as a reader, when you go into a bookshop, you expect something from Sam Blake, or you expect something, say, from my friend Alex Barkley, who writes, you know, real quite gritty crime. And you don't want to pick up a book by Sam Blake and actually find a full big love story. Now, there might be a few dark twists in it, but it's going to be a very, very different product. And the same if you're a romance reader and crime turns you right off, the last thing you want to do is pick up your favourite author and find, you know, dismembered body on the first page. So very much so. No, I would probably like writing my maiden name for the romance. I have to talk to Sheila, my agent, and we'll have to make a decision about that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You just sparked another question there with the dismembered body. how do you research some of the details of these crime books? You know, because presumably you're not a forensic anthropologist or anything like that.
No, I love the research side. I think that's one of the things that attracts me to crime, is that I'm fascinated by puzzles again, and I'm really interested in forensics. There's some fantastic resources these days on the web. I mean, writers are just so blessed with having the internet. There's some really, really good forensic sites. There's lots of really fantastic pictures on them. So I do a lot of research on the internet. I am very lucky that my husband's actually a member of the police here. He's a member of the Garda Síochána. And he has great contacts. So he was able to introduce me to Mari Cassidy, who is our state pathologist. And I had some great help from her on various bits and pieces. Because even though you can do research on the internet, you can do loads of research on the internet, if you're not a medic, inevitably you're going to make mistakes. So you really do need to get somebody who knows what they're doing to read over your work to make sure that you haven't, you know, there are no blunders in there. I'm an absolute total stickler for detail, and I will check everything, even down to, you know, making sure if I've said that a particular brand of sweatshirt is available in a particular place, I make sure that it is. Because I'm a great believer that everybody has to read your books, and there are going to be members of the police forces reading your books, there will be paramedics reading your books, there will be girls working in shops who know that, you know, the particular brand is stocked, you know, wherever it's stocked. And if you make any mistakes anywhere along the line, you'll jar that reader out of your story. As I was saying earlier, you know, the minute the reader's jarred or something doesn't quite flow, then they're going to put your book down because you've lost them. They've come out of the story and they're like, you know, you've probably done it yourself, read a book and thought, no, that's not right. And the minute it happens, you know, you've lost them. So I'm really, really, really trying to make sure that all the detail is in place. I talked to Mari Cassidy, who's our state pathologist, and I've got contact with profilers as well, psychological criminal profilers, and I just try and get everybody to read as many professionals as I can to make sure that the information's correct.
No, that's fantastic, and I do feel like that. It particularly annoys me when physical locations are miraculously next door to each other, like the pyramids and Petra, you know, Egypt and Jordan, takes 5 minutes to get between them. You know, that really annoys me.
It's things like that really are a bit, you know, you really need to make sure you get that detail right. I am with a guy called Stuart Neville, who's another Irish crime writer, who's written the most amazing book called The Twelve. It's published in the States, called The Ghosts of Belfast. And when he was writing his second book, he was in agonies because he needed an alley to be in New York, an alley to be in a particular place behind a building. And realized after he'd left New York and come home and was busy writing that actually the alley wasn't there at all. So he was then torn as to whether he included this alley, which was fictional, or whether he didn't. And I think actually he ended up deciding he would include it because after all he was writing fiction. But I think a note in the front to say, look, you know, there are elements here that are fictional in case that the people who were in the office building in New York were reading his book and thinking, no, there's no alley there, you know. So it can be tricky. I have to say, you'd want to make sure your geography, major geography stuff like the pyramids, you really need to get right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no, that's fantastic. Okay, well, we're almost out of time. So you have this wonderful Inkwell Writers Cafe site, and you talk on there about the influence that published authors can have on new writers. Can you share any of the particular tips that you found to be useful, and maybe just tell us a bit more about that site?
Oh, absolutely. Well, basically, Inkwell, I bring best-selling writers to talk to aspiring writers. I believe that best-selling writers really have the edge because they absolutely know what they're doing above and beyond everybody else. And every time I run a workshop, there are new tips, there's new information. There's different, because writers are so creative, there are different angles. You know, people approach characterization from different angles. They approach dialogue from different angles. So really, I learn something new at every single workshop. But the best piece of advice I was ever given was many years ago. Sarah Webb, who is a women's fiction writer and has just had huge success with a children's book with the Amy Green series, said to me, just keep writing. And that really, if you're a writer, is what you have to do. You have to just keep at it. It doesn't matter. It might take longer than you think. I think if somebody told me 10 years ago that it was going to take 10 years to get to the position I'm in now, I might have said, you know, I don't know if I want to commit that amount of time. But you really, if you're keen to get published and that's your thing, you just have to keep writing. The more you write, the better you get, you know, and then you rewrite and you rewrite and you rewrite, and your product becomes better and better and better. So that's absolutely the best piece of advice I've ever had. Alex Barkley in a crime workshop said to me, we were talking about character, and she was saying, make sure you know what your character's fears are. And I thought that was a really, really good tip, because at the time I thought this particular character didn't have any fears, which was probably one of the reasons why Selena Walker and Random House had come back to me to say that she felt that she wasn't captivated by the characters. And really, you've got to think about your characters all the way through. So think about your character's fears. It doesn't matter whether it's your goodie or your baddie, whether it's your protagonist or whether it's your arch villain. Get to know those characters really, really well. Because at the end of the day, good characters are the lifeblood of good fiction. And if your characters are right, then your plot will follow. Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously those workshops are in Ireland. Do you sell any audios? I'm interested from my own perspective now. do you sell any audios of your workshops?
I was thinking of doing them actually, because I do online workshops. I've got four or five writers who are Irish writers based here who do online workshops. One of them is called Write That Book, which is a step-by-step guide where you're working one-to-one with a girl called Tracy Pelleton, who won a writer bestseller competition here with a book called Looking Good. And she will take you through literally step by step. It's sort of quite one-on-one. But I must actually look at doing some sort of video podcast type of an affair with them. Yeah, because they are amazing. I get people. I have a lady who just booked into a workshop who lives in Canada. And I have people who travel from India and from Switzerland and all over the world actually to come to them. Because they really, I mean, it's one day, it's quite intensive, but really they are designed to be absolutely, to give you the inspiration you need and heaps of tips.
No, that's fantastic, because so often, I mean, you know, I was back in the UK briefly a few weeks ago for a funeral, and I was in Oxford and there was the Oxford Literary Festival, and I think John le Carré was there, and I was like, this is, you know, this is where it's at, what am I doing, you know. And in Australia, where I am now in Brisbane, it's really quite empty of, you know, big writers festivals and, you know, lots of, not many opportunities, I guess, to hear famous writers speak. So definitely I think there's market out there for more audio from good authors. So, you know,
the tip, well, the thing you need to do, John, this is the thing with me, when I when I needed to do a workshop, but I couldn't get to actually get to one, I just decided to organise them myself. Brisbane Literary Festival now.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, that's part of the reason I actually do these podcasts. It's because I can connect with people all over the world by doing it this way. And I figure after, you know, maybe after building up more of an audience, I'll start approaching John Le Carré.
Because these guys, all their tours, they're desperate for the, you know, they're desperate for the platform that you can give them too. So, and they all do, they're touring all over the place. So definitely have to catch them. The key is just to talk to the publishers and find out who's in Australia and when they're going to be there and try and tie it into that.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. Well, so where can people find you and your books?
The Mum's the Word book is out with New Island. So if you Google Mum's the Word New Island, you'll come across that. It does read my story in there. And I hope to have you soon. I have both books, The Romance and The Dressmaker, are just being worked on at the moment. And The Romance hopefully is going out now any day to publishers, and the same The Dressmaker. So hope to have big news on those very soon for you.
And your website?
The website is www.inkwellwriters.ie, and you'll see on the homepage the entrance into the cafe. The Inkwell Cafe is designed to be really a centre for writers' resources, and there's links to the Irish Publishing News and all sorts of writing tips. And also there is a section called Meet the Inkwell Writers. One of the things I'm really keen to do is to introduce as many new authors as possible to agents and publishers. And I've created some pages called Meet the Inkwell Writers, where you can put up a page of your work and an author profile so they can see what you like. And then I'm going to be guiding agents and publishers to that, so that it's really a showcase for new talent. And I'm going to London Book Fair to promote that next week, I think. So not
fantastic.
Long.
And you're also on Twitter.
I am indeed. I love Twitter. It's great. Yeah, chat away. I do all sorts of people on Twitter. And I'm Inkwell HQ on Twitter, so do look me up and say hello.
Well, thanks ever so much for your time. That was fantastic.
It was super. Lovely to talk to you.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.